Love at the lips was touch as sweet as I could bear. And once that seemed too much, I lived on air that crossed me from sweet things, the flow of, was it musk, from hidden grapevine springs downhill at dusk. I had the swirl and ache from sprays of honeysuckle that when they're gathered shake dew on the knuckle. I craved strong sweets, but those seemed strong when I was young. The petal of the rose it was that stung. Now no joy but lacks salt that is not dashed with pain and weariness and fault. I crave the stain of tears, the aftermark of almost too much love, the sweet of bitter bark and burning clove. When stiff and sore and scarred, I take away my hand from leaning on it hard in grass and sand. The hurt is not enough. I long for weight and strength to fill the earth as rough to all my length. You're listening to CICK 93.9 Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting from unceded Gidimdan Clan territory, Cassia House of the Wet'suwet'en Nation in Smithers. My name is Gavin Smith. You're listening to The Underword, a show that explores the interconnections between poetry and music. And you were just listening to Earthward by Robert Frost. Today's episode is all about Robert Frost. I am reading from the poetry of Robert Frost from Smithers Library. Shout out to Smithers Public Library. And Robert Frost was born in 1864 in San Francisco. He died in Boston in 1963. He worked for many years as a farmer, as well as an educator, and he didn't have his first book published of poetry until the age of 40, but he went on to win a record 4 Pulitzer Prizes. He read a poem at the inauguration of John F. Kennedy, and he's been referred to as America's unofficial poet laureate, although he is actually the official poet laureate of the state of Vermont, which has even named a mountain after him in Ripton, which is the town of his official residence. Or was the town of his official residence. According to Poetry Foundation, Robert Frost continues to hold a unique and almost isolated position in American letters. Quote, though his career fully spans the modern period, and though it is impossible to speak of him as anything other than a modern poet, writes James M. Cox, it is difficult to place him in the main tradition of modern poetry, end quote. In a sense, Robert Frost stands at the crossroads of 19th century American poetry and modernism, for in his verse may be found the culmination of many 19th century tendencies and traditions, as well as parallels to the works of his 20th century contemporaries. Taking in his symbols from the public domain, Frost developed, as many critics note, an original modern idiom and sense of directness and economy that reflects the imagism of Ezra Pound and Amy Lowell. On the other hand, as has been pointed out by a number of critics, unlike that of such contemporaries such as T.S. Eliot, Wallace Stevens, and the late and later Yeats, he shows no marked departure from the poetic practices of the 19th century. Although Frost avoids traditional verse forms and only uses rhyme erratically, Frost is not an innovator, and his technique is never experimental. So that's just a little bit about Robert Frost, who straddles that line between sort of modern poets and more traditional poetry of the prior century. I'm going to read one more before we get into things. This is one of my personal favorites of his, is Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sound's the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. That final line from the poem appears in a number of songs, including in a Celine Dion track of the same name. But personal preference, I am going to play a different track. This is Miles to Go by the band Stateless from their album Matilda.
Miles to Go.
two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler. Long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. That was The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, and before that you were listening to Miles to Go by the band Stateless. We're going to spend the rest of the songs in this episode all on a single poem, or that's the wrong way to phrase it. All of the songs that are coming in this episode are centered around a single poem of Robert Frost, which despite only being a few lines long, has had an outsized impact on pop culture. But before we get there, I'll read one more that isn't that one. This is A Star in a Stone Boat by Robert Frost. Never tell me that not one star of all that slip from heaven at night and softly fall has been picked up with stones to build a wall. Some laborer found one faded and stone cold, and saving that its weight suggested gold and tugged it from his first too certain hold. He noticed nothing in it to remark. He was not used to handling stars thrown dark and lifeless from an interrupted arc. He did not recognize in that smooth coal the one thing palpable besides the soul to penetrate the air in which we roll. He did not see how like a flying thing it brooded ant eggs and had one large wing, not so large for flying in a ring. And a long bird of paradise's tail, though these when not in use to fly and trail, it drew back in its body like a snail. Nor know that he might move it from the spot, the harm was done, from having been star-shot, the very nature of the soil was hot. And burning to yield flowers instead of grain, flowers fanned and not put out by all the rain, poured on them by his prayers, prayed in vain. He moved it roughly with an iron bar. He loaded an old stone boat with the star, and not, as you might think, a flying car, such as even poets would admit perforce more practical than Pegasus, the horse, if it could put a star back in its course. He dragged it through the plowed ground at a pace, but faintly reminiscent of the race of jostling rock in interstellar space. It went for building stone, and I, as though commanded in a dream, forever go to right the wrong that this should have been so. Yet ask where else it could have gone as well, I do not know, I cannot stop to tell, he might have left it lying where it fell. From following walls I never lift my eye, except at night, to places in the sky where showers of charted meteors let fly. Some may know what they seek in school and church, and why they seek it there. For what I search, I must go measuring stone walls, perch on perch, sure that though not a star of death and birth, so not to be compared, perhaps, in worth, to such resorts of life as Mars and Earth. Though not, I say, a star of death and sin, it yet has poles and only needs a spin to show its worldly nature and begin to chafe and shuffle in my calloused palm, and run off in strange tangents with my arm, as fish do with the line in first alarm. Such as it is, promises the prize of the one world complete in any size, that I am like to compass, fool or wise. That was Star in a Stone Boat by Robert Frost, and as I said, the rest of the songs in this episode will be centered around a single poem. Before I tell you what that poem is, why don't you see if you can catch the poem's title as it shows up in this Lana Del Rey song. This is Lana Del Rey with a Music to Watch Boys To.
I like you a lot, but no music while I'm watching the boys. So I do what you want, sing yourself conscious to so
That was Lana Del Rey with Music to Watch Boys To. The Robert Frost poem in there, if you caught it, was Nothing Gold Can Stay, which shows up in not one but two Lana Del Rey songs. It also shows up in Venice Bitch, which is a great song, but it clocks in at about 10 minutes, so couldn't quite fit in this episode. I'll read Nothing Gold Can Stay. It's not going to take long. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief, so dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. Now, the phrase nothing gold can stay in that poem has had a very outsized impact on modern music. It's inspired musicians across genres. It's the name of a song by metalcore band After the Burial. It's the name of the breakout album by 90s pop punk band New Found Glory. And I could go on, but it wouldn't be fair to speak of the poem's influence in isolation, because the widespread appearance of the poem in music has come in combination with the work of a well-known author and a well-known movie maker. And if you went to public school in the 1990s like I did, there is a very good chance that you, like me, read the novel The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton. Your class may even have seen the 1983 movie adaptation of the novel by Francis Ford Coppola, featuring Brat Pack notables like Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, as well as Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, and Matt Dillon. Susan Eloise Hinton wrote The Outsiders in high school and published it in 1967 when she was just 17, using an acronym for her first and middle names on the advice of her publisher to disguise the fact that she was a woman. The Outsiders featured warring gangs, the Greasers and the Socs, but it also featured Robert Frost's poem, Nothing Gold Can Stay. Most famously, when Ponyboy Curtis stands in the hospital beside his dying friend Johnny Cade, Johnny utters the immortal line, the line which rang out in grade 8 hallways across the land for many decades. Stay gold, Ponyboy. Stay gold. It's not surprising that the widespread reach of both the novel and the movie version of The Outsiders gave Robert Frost's poem a new and strange reach into the corners of pop culture. I was tempted to go to the song Stay Gold by Stevie Wonder, which is the lead single from the soundtrack to The Outsiders movie, but if I'm being honest, it is not my favorite Stevie Wonder track. Instead, we're going to start with the band Pony Up from their album Stay Gold. This is the leading single from that album, A Crutch or a Cradle.
Always. sun shone high those few summer days, left us in a soft, wide-eyed haze. It shone like gold. It shone like gold. But just as the moon, it shall stray. So
that was First Aid Kit with Stay Gold from their album Stay Gold. And before that, you were listening to the band Pony Up from their album Stay Gold with A Crutch or a Cradle. We're going to read one more this evening before signing off. Thanks for listening to The Underword. I'm Gavin Smith. And thanks also to our CICK supporter, Ranch House Tattoo. We'll close off with After Apple Picking by Robert Frost. My long two-pointed ladder's sticking through a tree toward heaven still, and there's a barrel that I didn't fill. Beside it, and there may be two or three apples I didn't pick upon some bough, but I am done with apple-picking now. Essence of winter sleep is on the night, the scent of apples I am drowsing off. I cannot rub the strangeness from my sight I got from looking through a pane of glass I skimmed this morning from the drinking trough, and held against the world of hoary grass. It melted, and I let it fall and break, but I was well upon my way to sleep before it fell, and I could tell what form my dreaming was about to take. Magnified apples appear and disappear, stem end and blossom end, and every fleck of russet showing clear. My instep arch not only keeps the ache, it keeps the pressure of a ladder round. I feel the ladder sway at the bow's bend, and I keep hearing from the cellar bin the rumbling sound of load on load of apples coming in. For I have had too much of apple picking. I am overtired of the great harvest I myself desired. There were 10,000,000 fruits to touch, cherish in hand, lift down and not let fall. For all that struck the earth, no matter if not bruised or spiked with stubble, went surely to the cider apple heap as of no worth. One can see what will trouble this sleep of mine, whatever sleep it is. Were he not gone, the woodchuck could say whether it's like his long sleep, as I describe its coming on, or just some human sleep. You've been listening to The Underword. Have a good night, everyone.